Hello, I'm Warwick Ashford with a roundup of IT news highlights brought to you by Computer Weekly. First, a countdown of the past week's five most popular stories on computerweekly.com. At number five, John Lewis secures 15,000 staff with mobile phone two-factor network security. At number four, patient database open to access by non-qualified NHS staff. At number three, counterfeit Cisco gear threatens network security. At number two, IBM unveils System Z10 mainframe. And in top spot, home office laptop sold on eBay. And in that story, a home office laptop computer with a confidential encrypted disk was sold on eBay to a member of the public who discovered the disk when he sent the unit for repairs. A home office spokeswoman said the laptop was lost 4 years ago. She said there was no reason to suspect the loss had led to a data breach because the disk was encrypted. Police are investigating. Now for a look at some of the top news stories featured in the current edition of Computer Weekly magazine. The government's controversial £5.4 billion national identity scheme features prominently this week, with Ian Grant reporting that questions have been raised about the scheme following the publication of an independent review by the Financial Service Agency's Deputy Chairman Sir James Crosby. And Tony Collins reports that the Office of Government Commerce remains determined to keep secret early independent assessments of the ID card scheme by going to court to stop their publication. Ian, what are the main findings of the Crosby report?
Crosby looked at a number of different schemes around the world, and he found that the national identity schemes that worked best were the ones that were most widespread and the most well used. And his analysis was that these were ones that actually delivered benefits to the consumers rather than anyone else.
And what are the main recommendations of the report?
Well, he said what weighed most heavily on his mind was to get a fast rollout and widespread rollout as quickly as possible. And he articulated 10 principles which he suggested that government ID program should follow. And that was typically that the customer owns the data, that they use the bank's existing infrastructure for vetting IDs and credit checks and use that as the backbone and to roll out the authentication system. Also to make the whole program independent of government and to have it report directly to Parliament rather than to the Home Secretary. And to make sure that the cards are issued free and to make the whole enrollment process as simple and cheap as possible.
How has government responded?
The government has officially welcomed it and described these recommendations as compelling, but it has signally not done very much to accommodate Crosby's recommendations. Certainly the main motives remain in force. Jackie Smith, the Home Secretary, said that the main benefits were that the card would stop illegal immigration, illegal working. It would help the national security people fight terrorism. It would help the police fight organized crime. So all the main benefits are state-directed. That's completely contrary to what Crosby said works effectively.
What's been the public response to the report?
Public response to Crosby so far has been very little, but the public response to what Jackie Smith has said has been absolutely condemnatory. They think that, let me quote one person, he said, it's a half-baked PR exercise. The politicians have said this is the ID card program by stealth, and so on. It's a bean fest.
Rebecca Thompson reports that BAA has rejected advanced RFID technology in favor of 2D barcodes to track baggage at Heathrow's new Terminal 5, in a move that it says will help improve its track record on lost bags. Rebecca, why has BAA opted for barcoded instead of RFID-enabled tags for the luggage?
Well, they say that the barcode system works perfectly well, and that the problems that they've experienced with it before have been down to a lack of space in the buildings. They also think that RFID does have advantages, but these will be mostly realised when airports all over the world install it. So in terms of just looking at a terminal in isolation, they think that the barcode system is just as effective because they have scanners all over the place constantly updating where all the bags are.
Existing barcode systems don't have a perfect track record, so what makes BAA think it'll succeed at T5?
They said that the other buildings in Heathrow are very congested. They were built sort of quite a long time ago before all this new technology came in, and the technology was kind of shoehorned into these existing buildings, it probably doesn't have the space to work properly. They say that it will be more effective in Terminal 5 just simply because the building has been designed around the technology. So they've got things like a 4,000 capacity bag store, which means that if any bags are particularly early, they can go into this bag store and they won't be clogging up the system. And they also have things to do for bags that are late. So if people turn up late, then they have these processes to put in place to rush them through. So they've got a lot of things to help them that they didn't have before.
Also in the latest edition of Computer Weekly, Carl Flinders reports that global businesses are demanding large discounts from outsourcers in light of fears over economic downturn in exchange for contract extensions that are risking the effectiveness of these contracts through these negotiations. And Jean-Paul Kamath reports that IT managers negotiating the price of virtualization licenses with software suppliers such as Microsoft, SAP and Oracle could get cheaper deals if they audit software use beforehand. You can find these stories and more IT-related news in the latest edition of Computer Weekly magazine or online at computerweekly.com. And that's it for this week's roundup of IT news highlights from Computer Weekly.